She went out into the street on one occasion, when she was very old, with shoes the color of old silver and a hat made of tiny flowers, during the time that the wandering Jew passed through town and brought on a heat wave that was so intense that birds broke through window screens to come to die in the bedrooms. The last time anyone saw her alive was when, with one shot, she killed a thief who was trying to force the door of her house. Except for Arhenida, her servant and confidant, no one ever had any more contact with her after that. At one time, it was discovered that she was writing letters to the bishop, whom she claimed as a first cousin, but it was never said whether she received any reply. The town forgot about her. In spite of his triumphal return, Colonel Aureliano Buendia was not enthusiastic over the looks of things. The government troops abandoned their positions without resistance, and that aroused an illusion of victory among the liberal population that it was not right to destroy. But the revolutionaries knew the truth, Colonel Aureliano Buendia better than any of them. Although at that moment he had more than 5,000 men under his command and held two coastal states, he had the feeling of being hemmed in against the sea and caught in a situation that was so confused that when he ordered the restoration of the church steeple, which had been knocked down by army cannon fire, Father Nicanor commented from his sickbed, "This is silly. The defenders of the faith of Christ destroy the church and the masons order it rebuilt." Looking for a loophole through which he could escape, he spent hours on end in the telegraph office conferring with the commanders of other towns, and every time he would emerge with the firmest impression that the war was at a stalemate. When news of fresh liberal victories was received, it was celebrated with jubilant proclamations. But he would measure the real extent of them on the map and could see that his forces were penetrating into the jungle, defending themselves against malaria and mosquitoes, advancing in the opposite direction from reality. "We're wasting time," he would complain to his officers. "We're wasting time while the bastards in the party are begging for seats in Congress." Lying awake at night, stretched out on his back in a hammock in the same room where he had awaited death, he would evoke the image of lawyers dressed in black, leaving the presidential palace in the icy cold of early morning with their coat collars turned up about their ears, rubbing their hands, whispering, taking refuge in dreary early morning cafes to speculate over what the president had meant when he said yes, or what he had meant when he said no, and even to imagine what the president was thinking when he said something quite different, as he chased away mosquitoes at a temperature of 95 degrees, feeling the approach of the fearsome dawn when he would have to give his men the command to jump into the sea. One night of uncertainty, when Pilar Ternera was singing in the courtyard with the soldiers, he asked her to read the future in her cards. "Watch out for your mouth," was all that Pilar Ternera brought out after spreading and picking up the cards three times. "I don't know what it means, but the sign is very clear. Watch out for your mouth." 2 days later, someone gave an orderly a mug of black coffee, and the orderly passed it on to someone else, and that one to someone else, until, hand to hand, it reached Colonel Aureliano Buendia's office. He had not asked for any coffee, but since it was there, the colonel drank it. It had a dose of Nux Vomica, strong enough to kill a horse. When they took him home, he was stiff and arched, and his tongue was sticking out between his teeth. Ursula fought against death over him. After cleaning out his stomach with emetics, she wrapped him in hot blankets and fed him egg whites for 2 days, until his harrowed body recovered its normal temperature. On the fourth day, he was out of danger. Against his will, pressured by Ursula and his officers, he stayed in bed for another week. Only then did he learn that his verses had not been burned. "I didn't want to be hasty," Ursula explained to him. "That night when I went to light the oven, I said to myself that it would be better to wait until they brought the body." In the haze of convalescence, surrounded by Remedios's dusty dolls, Colonel Aureliano Buendía brought back the decisive periods of his existence by reading his poetry. He started writing again. For many hours, balancing on the edge of the surprises of a war with no future, in rhymed verse, he resolved his experience on the shores of death. Then his thoughts became so clear that he was able to examine them forward and backward.